from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Oh, it's Fresh Fridays, everybody. Happy Friday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah, I'm having a great Friday, Ursula. I'm looking forward to going out to dinner tonight because, you know, we're going to be going to taste some good food.
I know. You and Lillian. You guys got a gig going on.
Yeah, that's our new thing. We go taste the food. We go to restaurants. We taste it. We judge it and check it on out and see what it's talking about. So I'm looking forward to that. Ursula, this first 2 hours of the show has been fun. It has gone fast. Every day this week, everything has gone so fast, and it's your fault.
The only time it didn't go fast was when I was struggling as I was looking at Mike Salk's face and I couldn't remember his name. What has happened to me?
I'm not even going to laugh at you because, first of all, of the three of us, you have the best memory out of all three of us.
But I'm thinking, is it because I'm sleep deprived or because I was just looking at him and I blanked on it? I was trying to remember Geno Smith, a name that we just haven't said in years and years, and now he's going to be our quarterback on Sunday. And I was proud of myself for remembering Geno, and then I look at Mike like, who are you? anyway.
Like I said,
it's funny to laugh at myself.
You remember conversations from 6 months ago.
I do, exactly.
All right, Chef, let's get to it. Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Everybody, ballots went out in King County on Tuesday this week. You should be getting those in the mail quite soon. The two candidates for Seattle's mayor, Lorena Gonzalez and Bruce Harrell, they did square off last night in the first of two debates. And when asked what their number one priority would be if elected, both candidates, of course, said homelessness. So I want to go through what both candidates have said in the past about what they will actually do to end homelessness, and then I want to ask you about that. So first up, let's start with Bruce Harrell, who told our show this.
A tiny house, a tiny home, which is, we know, is just a temporary fix for perhaps 6 months to a year, that only costs about $4,000 to build. So we can do the 2,000, again, Compassion Seattle required 2,000 units to be built, 2,000 homes, small, tiny homes, to be built the first year. We can do that. And if we say there's less than 5,000 people on the streets now for, you know, $20 million, and we know the city's spending over north of $200 million as we speak.
Okay, so $20 million, Bruce says he can do it with tiny homes. Now for Lorena Gonzalez with this campaign promise.
So as mayor, my goal is to end homelessness, not hide it. And I'm committed to rapidly rehousing people and to meeting the needs of shelter, housing, and mental health needs of all of those we are currently failing, and to do that in the first 100 days of my administration.
I listened to that three times. She said that she would end chronic homelessness within 100 days. Mr. Harrell promised that he could end it for $20 million. Gee, I have to ask you, who do you trust more on this issue?
Man, this is a trick question. Neither of them. I apologize. I know I got to pick one, Ursula. I should not be straddling the fence on this one. I don't think you can end chronic homelessness in 100 days. That's number one. And if you could, why didn't you offer that advice for right now, for what we've been going through over the last years? That's one. And two, I don't think you could end the homeless crisis with just throwing money at something with $20 million. So if I had to go ahead and say which one I would, let me go ahead and Bruce Harrell's side. That at least almost sounds more realistic. But in chronic homelessness in 100 days? Wait, what?
Yeah, we've heard this promise years and years and years ago, ending it by Christmas, ending it by this, ending it by that. We're always going to have some kind of problem. But right now, I trust Bruce Harrell more. Why? Because Lorena Gonzalez has already been on the city council for the past 4 years. And if she thought it was as easy as to eliminate it in 100 days, well, why hasn't it happened right now? And how is she going to do that when she has already said that she does not believe in clearing any camps or clearing any parks from camps from parks or from sidewalks until there is a place to put everybody? No, as long as you're being really awesome to people who, in some cases, don't really want to get off the streets, they're not going to go anywhere. So, no, there is someone I definitely trust more, and that would be Bruce Harrell.
So I got to ask then, what is a reasonable goal for 4 years? Because obviously you pointed out the differences there. Bruce said, yeah, we'll clean up the camps. Lorena says, no, we need to have housing in place for all of these people. What is a reasonable goal? What are you looking for as a voter, Ursula?
I'm looking for some new ideas. I'm looking for a whole combination of things, which also keeps the compassion in there. And so obviously to look for mental health and more drug addiction treatment, but also says, look, there are people who are up to no good who are in these camps. And we have to recognize that. And we have to say, well, that's not what you're doing is not OK. That's what I'm looking for. Someone who's much more realistic.
Well, let me tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking forward to one day looking at Seattle. Right. Looking at Seattle the way that it used to be, meaning when I go to other cities, when I go to Columbus, why am I going to Columbus, Ohio? And it looks better in Columbus, Ohio than it does in Seattle. Why am I going to other cities? You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm going to other places and I'm trying to, let me get this straight. Seattle has all of these cranes in the air and they have way more cranes in Seattle than they have in Columbus, but Columbus seems to be cleaner than it is in Seattle. I'm scratching my head here. Wait, there seems to be a lot of money in Seattle, but it doesn't seem that way. That's what I'm looking forward to, yeah. Chef. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I'm looking forward to where you can see a visible difference in the homelessness crisis and that you actually carry out some of the things that you are saying that you'll do. And I'm looking forward to the day that I can go to downtown Seattle and feel safe again.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about vaccine mandates. But I want to take this to a national perspective with an NBA star who's going to be giving up a lot of coin to stick with his beliefs. This is Kyrie Irving, who will not be playing for the New York Nets or practicing until he's eligible for every single game. That means getting at least one shot. That includes the road games. This is because Irving can't play at home because of New York's vaccine mandate. The team owner says, you know what, we're just going to be consistent. If you can't play at home, you can't play on the road. What'll it cost him? $18 million. That is half of his salary for the season, which you could look at as Kyrie Irving giving up $18 million, or Kyrie Irving still getting paid $18 million to stay home on his couch. Gee, I got to ask you, if you had a shot to make $36 million, but you had to work really, really hard and there was danger to your body, etc., would you rather stay at home for $18 million or take the $36 and do something difficult?
This is so easy. So easy. I'm going to work for that other $18 million. You understand me? Look, there is no way that I can be comfortable knowing that there is an opportunity to get more, right? So let's just keep it simple. If I got $100 and there's an opportunity for a work day, and hey, G, listen, here's the deal. You can make $200 or you can just sit on the couch and make $100. Man, I'm getting off the couch and I'm going to make that other $100 because I want to make $200. Sorry, Ursula, I can't leave money on the table.
Okay, now I feel like this is two different questions because if I'm looking at the Kyrie case, I wrote to you guys yesterday. I respect that he has decided this is what is right for him. He understands the consequences and he's still going forward with what he feels is right for him. I disagree with it, but he's willing to put $18 million on the line. He's willing to give that up because he feels, even though he says he is not anti-vax, he just doesn't feel comfortable with this particular one at this time for him. And he is choosing to make that decision, which, again, I disagree with. But he's willing to give up half of his salary, which is $18 million. I have to respect that.
I would totally stay home for $18 million. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
But you're that giving is gener- up.
No, it's not. It's not giving. That is generational wealth. At a certain point, I think, like, do you really notice the difference if you have $20 million or $30 million?
Oh, my gosh.
The only way you notice that difference is if you're comparing yourself to your other rich friends. And if for an average Joe like me,
yes.
I'm just going to take $18 million, man. Why are you saying, oh, my gosh, gee?
Because I'm so mad right now. And you know what? I'm gonna do it. This is probably low. I apologize if you guys are in this category, but let me just call it. This is what's wrong with this young generation. This young generation, y'all don't want to work. You want to sit there and you have an opportunity to go get more. But no, you're just satisfied with the little 18, 19 millions. You just sit on the couch.
Disagree.
That's the
yes.
problem. That's disagree. The problem. What do you mean you disagree, Ursula?
Because this is one of those lovely sweeping statements that I hate. Everyone in this younger generation, no. You are categorizing everybody, and it's just not the truth.
You know it's this younger generation. They don't want to work. You
yeah.
know it, Ursula. You know
no.
it. There's an opportunity. Ursula, would no. you leave $18 million out there?
No. No, I would not.
But Chef would. You notice that Chef's like, oh, I would totally sit on the couch. Of course, because that's what you want to do. You want to sit on the couch and get your free money.
No, I actually just want to spend time with my kids. And you know what? The interest off that money means I'm living comfortably regardless. So I'm going to stick with my values there, G.
I mean, I think that's a good point, though, too. Is it a hardship for him? Probably not. But he's giving up half his salary to do what he feels is right for him. So,
can't
choices.
Knock it. Can't knock it. Why do we always talk about Amazon?
I don't know.
It's like Amazon is an entire news universe unto itself. And I found this fascinating story from over in the UK. They have slightly different privacy laws there. But what happened is this man had a Ring camera that was installed on his front door. His neighbor did not want him to have it, and she successfully sued him in court for invasion of privacy. And here's why. In the details of this case, I did not realize this, but Ring obviously captures video, but audio as well. And it has actually AI software in there that can amplify the sound of voices. So you can pick up conversations that are from as far away as about 70 feet. So we're talking like if your neighbor has a Ring camera on their porch, they can probably hear you in your front yard if you have your window open, if you are in the backyard even potentially, depending on how tight your houses are. So Ursula, I got to ask you, should you get permission from your neighbors before installing a security camera that they can hear you with?
That would be the nice thing to do. Do I think that's happening? Absolutely not. I know that my brother-in-law has one of those rings, and he told me, he said, you know, I'm watching everything that you're doing right now on my front porch. I completely forgot. I didn't even think about it. what I was waiting for him to come back to his house, and I thought, oh, man, thank God I wasn't doing anything embarrassing.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right? So you have to assume it would be nice. Okay. I want to ask you this and answer this honestly, not what we think we should do, but would we do it?
Yeah.
If you have one of those, and I don't have it, but if you are hearing conversations that you know, okay, you shouldn't be listening in on this, and this is just really personal stuff, and you can hear it, and you know that your neighbor would be so embarrassed, are you going to go over to your neighbor's house and say, I got to tell you, I'm hearing these conversations, just be aware? Or are you going to keep spying?
Keep listening for all the spilled tea? Is that what you're asking,
that's
Ursula?
That's my question.
Okay, you do know what the number one shows on TV are. Reality TV. So, Ursula, are you kidding me? I mean,
you're going to be just listening on in?
Yeah, they're going to have to charge that to the game. Now, I do got a neighbor that I met just recently by the name of Terry. And I got to say, if Terry, if you're listening right now, if I'm able to hear your business on, from my house, I will come and tell you, because you did me a solid the other day when I left my garage door open and forgot and left out of here. And you found out that my garage was open. So you did me a solid. So for you, yes. Everybody else in my neighborhood, I'm listening.
Do you guys remember how baby monitors used to work?
Yes.
How sometimes you could pick up your neighbor's conversations.
Yes.
If they had a handheld phone instead of the one with the cord that wrapped all the way around the living room, and he had
yes.
to take it downstairs to get some privacy.
Uh-huh.
When I was growing up, like, my friend had a baby monitor because he had a younger sister, and we heard their neighbor's conversations all the time. It was fascinating. And there was no way. I mean, come on. If someone is spilling it, you really going to go over and tell them?
Okay, this is your word of warning. Just assume. It's just, think about it. That is awful. That you cannot even have privacy within your own home. I'll be honest, if it's my, and I shouldn't say I'll be honest, I'm always honest. But if it's my neighbor that I love next to me right now, Janet and Jim, and I'm hearing conversations that I know I shouldn't be listening, I would tell them.
Like, what if the okay? What if the first conversation you hear about you and are about you and Long Live Mark? And what if they're negative? Now what do you do? There's negative talk about you and Long Live Mark. Now what do you do?
Well, they wouldn't, but even more reason.
How do you know they wouldn't?
Because they're awesome people. Even more reason to go over and they say, just FYI, we can hear you guys. We can hear you guys.
Hey, I'm
I would hope that someone would do that to me, and that is really what I would do. Because there was a time I wasn't a big yeller, you know, with our kids, but every once in a while, one of our sons would just need about four or five reminders, and my voice would get louder and louder. And I would always laugh because my neighbor, I knew that our houses, I live in Seattle, our houses are very close. I knew she could hear everything, and I would just go in the middle of my. You know, yelling, and it wasn't much yelling, but I would say, "Hi, Janet. Hi, Jim."
Hey, I tell you, if neighbors over the years heard the way I talk to my sons, they called the police.
Oh no!
I mean, you guys have heard me talk to my sons.
Yeah, you are a strict dad. Very strict. With a loud voice.
It's not like, are you sure? Are you going to be okay, son? Oh, no. Don't talk like that. Hey, coming up next, we were going to talk about it earlier. We're going to talk about it now. These are the top things that you and everybody else brings up in therapy about your job. We'll talk about that next. This is Gene Urshlow.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. It is now 11:34 on this beautiful Friday morning. This hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Pest Control. And one of the favorite topics on this show is about our jobs. Bosses for G, of course, but our jobs. And you found a new list, G.
Yeah, I did. The most common job issues that people bring up in therapy. The reason why I want to bring this up, Ursula, because I don't want people to feel as if they are alone in their worries when it comes to their career. So I'll just go through a few of these. I won't go through all of them. Here's some of the things that you might bring up in therapy, and we can discuss if something rings true for you, Ursula.
Okay.
Realizing that your dream job is not actually what you want. You get in that job, you're like, yes, I can't wait. And then 90 days in, you realize, this ain't the job for you. Navigating conflicts with coworkers and or bosses. As you guys know, I do have a hard time with bosses here on our station. You do that. It's been brought up in therapy. Therapist told me there's nothing I can do to help you. Another one is returning to in-person work and pre-pandemic levels of productivity. There's a lot. Now, being serious, I'm not even being funny about this. There's a lot of people that really have a lot of anxiety about going back to work, whether it's leaving the idea of spending more time with their family. Being around people. There are some people that are kind of introverted, if you will. So they don't want to really be out there in the public. So you have that. Another one is dealing with microaggressions and stereotyping. One of the things that my daughter has been going through is a lot of times people often ask her in the courtroom, "Hi, are you the social worker?" No, she's the defendant's attorney. So that happens as well. And I'll just give a couple more. Feeling out of sync with work-life balance, feeling underappreciated, and feeling burnt out. Ursula, what stands out to you, my friend?
I think the biggest one is conflicts over bosses and colleagues, because that was something that predated the pandemic. That is something that is probably the biggest thing that causes angst, anger, frustration is your relationship with either your boss or other colleagues. And that can make it a really great workplace or a really crummy workplace. And, I have never actually sought therapy for work-related stuff, but I think that's a great idea. I love that people are much more open about getting professional help for some of these things. So sometimes you just need someone to hear you out.
Right. I would say that of all of these, that one of the things that really stands out to me, and I often wonder, is this one here, is realizing that your dream job is not actually what it is that you want. You know, sometimes maybe we have this idea of what we want to do. So for an example, like, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? Or what do you want your career to be? And what are you going to study in college? And what are you going to have your career be at 21, 22, 25 years old? Well, what your interests are at 25 might be different with you than your interests at 35. So let's just say you don't get that job until your mid-30s. And then when you go and you finally get that job and what you thought you would love, all of a sudden you're in that dream job. Everybody's excited for you. You were excited in the very beginning. And then after a while, you realize like, wow, this isn't for me. Or you're in your dream job and you actually love it and everything is great. But then something happens where you learn something or you are enlightened or you have more of a passion about something else. So then, Ursula, you're kind of stuck in that job.
Well, I want to talk very specifically. So can you explain something in terms of, I mean, this is your first job like with a boss, right? Is that
yes.
ever? I mean, so you've always been kind of a solo employee. And I'm at the opposite end where I've not been an independent worker. I've been always, I mean, primarily working here. So for over 30 years, I will tell you that there were probably 10 to 15 years where every year I was like, I got to get out of here. This is not the
really?
Job that I love. Oh, gosh. Yes. And what I would tell myself at that time was, mm-hmm. I'm doing this for my family. It's not every, I made my mind try to think of, okay, what is it that I love doing? I do love telling stories. I do love working with most of the people here. I do, well, now I really love working with all the people here. But, I mean, there were times when I had crappy bosses. Mm-hmm. I mean, really crummy bosses. The worst years were when I was in management and being a middle manager. Because now you're trying to you know, you've got to hear the problems and try to solve problems for the people who are working for you. And then you also have to try to manage up and you're really squished. And there were times when I thought, man, I do need a shrink. I do need right. someone to help me out here because you start losing your identity. You start people can 1 year I went from being the best employee ever to the same boss suddenly thinking when there was heat on him, suddenly I wasn't the best employee. And those kinds of things are really hard to navigate, especially if you're only identifying with your work, if it's like your work is your whole identity. Mm-hmm. So I have learned to tell myself my work is not my identity. Mm-hmm. I am going to continue to be me even after I leave here.
Right. I think oftentimes that when folks and I'm not these aren't my words, it's been said, so I'm stealing these words. People don't quit the job, they quit people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and so sometimes a bad boss can make your work experience hell. You know what I mean? If you will. For me, the reason why I was talking about realizing that this job, this dream job that you have isn't for you, I would think that that would really suck. When I first got into this, I got to tell you, did I think this is my dream job? No. First of all, I never thought I would make it past a year, right? Or even in 2-3 years, no way possible. But if I can go ahead and try to trick everybody, fool everybody for at least a year or two, that gives me time to look into something, to look into something else.
And now, when you're first starting in this industry, you're not making a whole lot of money.
No.
And you're usually working really horrible hours.
No. And
let's get real.
And then people was like, ooh, you on the radio, you make good money. Anyways. But now that I've been doing it, and I think for me personally, the last 2 years since we've been doing this show, what we have gone through in 2020 and, of course, into 2021, this pandemic, all of the social issues that we've had in our country, it's dawned on me that this is my dream job, right? And it really was solidified when I had some other opportunities to do something else. And I looked at those something else's and was like, no, No, not even for more money, not even for double the money. I know you guys heard me talk about going to try to get more money. No, all money ain't good money all the time. So I've actually had the opposite. I love what I do, except for the bosses.
And you know what? You say that and you joke around, but you know, you do love the bosses too. Yeah, it's just a kind of a fun thing for you. And imagine working in a place, though, where you couldn't joke around like that. And there are places who wouldn't take to it so kindly. So,
all right. Well, Ursula, let's get to it. It's time for everybody's text feedback. And then you're going to make us all feel better with your words to live by. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Fresh Fridays to all of you. All right, Ursula, it's time for it. The text feedback and then, of course, your words to live by.
And before I get started, I just want to remind everybody that the Dory Monson Show is next. And I'm just hearing that they're going to be talking to a Seattle firefighter who could be losing his job over the vaccine mandate. So that's coming up right after noon. But let's start with our interview with that nurse who is losing her job instead of getting vaccinated. Serene in Kirkland says, I appreciate you both taking the time to speak to the nurse. I don't support her decision, but I respect her and her profession. It felt important for me to hear her and her thinking. It is difficult to hear her giving opinions on her immunity as fact when even she admitted we don't know yet how long her immunity lasts. Of all the professions, I think the medical community is the most important to be vaccinated. These are my opinions. Thank you for presenting a different point of view. And we appreciate you, Serene in Kirkland. That's exactly the reason we had her on.
206 says, I'm glad you had her on. However, it is disturbing because people making the decisions she's making are the reasons we are still dealing with this pandemic. It is completely maddening. Do your part as a member of the society.
206 says, yo, gee, supporting an employer's decision to require vaccines is much different than supporting a government mandate forcing employees to get on board with a controversial political opinion or lose their job without it even going to a vote by the people.
206 says, thank you for your approach with your guests. I agree with you guys 100%. That being said, you were upfront and kind to her point of view. Keep up the great work. Haters gonna hate.
On the topic of vaccines and waning antibodies, 206 says, listening to your show this morning, I finally feel a need to share. I had no problem getting the vaccine early on and was just about ready for the booster. I've worn my mask most of the time for obvious reasons. I generally felt pretty safe. I went to the Seahawks game, wore a mask, showed my card. Many were not wearing masks, by the way. Same when I went to a small venue last Saturday. Well, guess who has been horizontal for the last 4 days with COVID? I've lost work time and now have affected several others. Stay safe, everyone. Keep vigilant.
Oh, wow. Scenarios. My roommate doesn't help with household tasks. Should I continue doing things like dishes for her? 425 says, all you have to do is put those dirty dishes on that roommate's pillow until the problem is solved.
Okay, and that's what we don't want.
Nor
do we want to do the thing that someone else suggested, which is just do half of them and leave the rest. Just have that conversation. So should you ask your neighbors or warn them if you're putting up a Ring security camera that can listen to every one of their conversations? 425 says, there are settings to turn the sound off. Just turn it off.
What about your work has you considering therapy? 206 says, thank you for talking on this work topic. I've heard G's comments on people not working as hard during the pandemic. I've been working way harder. They fired one person, laid off another person, and have not rehired. My company sells long-term care, and with the new laws in Washington, we went from having about 10 applications a week to over 100. Our team of six went down to a team of four, and they haven't been able to hire somebody new. Major burnout.
Yeah, G, you got in trouble. People were not happy with you. With the exception of one guy who said he did have to fire someone young who wasn't working very hard. But I just disagree with you on that one. Do young people not value work? 425 says, in case I die before G, at least I've heard what he'll sound like as an old man. That's what's wrong with kids today. Now get off my lawn.
Gee, you can't compare sitting on a couch for $100 versus sitting on a couch for $18 million. People have been complaining about the lazy next generation since the dawn of time. Chef has a good point. Get off my lawn, G. All right, Ursula, it's time for your words to live by.
And one of my favorite things about doing the show with all of you is that we get to laugh even through these tough times. So here's the quote of the day. Laughing is and will always be the best form of therapy. There is nothing in the world so irresistibly contagious as laughter and good humor. I hope you all have an amazing weekend. Our words to live by are brought to you by ProClub.com, a club like no other. Let's talk to 710 ESPN host. Hello.
Hi, Mike Saul. Are you forgetting my name?
No.
Hi, Ursula. Roy Teen.
No.
Wow.
No.
Gee, what has happened here?
Please give me grace. Does DK Metcalf have the potential to be the best wife receiver?
An oldie, but a goodie. Something about sports, Ursula.
Oh.
I was about to go into my weekend feeling really good. I need a do-over. Can we do a show tomorrow?
Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Ursula, your laugh is still the greatest laugh that has ever been heard before. Thank you, Ursula. Thank you, Chef, for everything you do, bro. Thank you. Andrew, appreciate all the good vibes this week, man. Thank you for all the work you do behind the scenes and on those boards. And, man, you know what? Everybody else, have a great weekend. We do this again on Monday. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be good.